Welcome to the Huba Show. We have a great show planned here today. We have a special guest in the studio at Huba Studios here on the Huba Show, Adam. He's got an amazing story about Key West, but we're also going to talk about all kinds of other nifty little things along the way. Whatever really transpires, it doesn't really matter because this is podcasting. We don't have a program director breathing down our neck like in a typical radio station. We can do what we want. No holds barred. Sylvester Stallone style. Oh, yeah. Welcome. Here's Adam. Welcome to the show. I guess the first thing we'll kind of dive into a little bit here is all the riots going around. These riots that are just happening across the country. I fell asleep last night listening to, I think it was the Philadelphia Police Scanner. It had about 18,000 listeners. I was listening to Albany PD as well. There was chaos up there.
Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, they were being thrown at police on horses.
Yep. Yeah.
And Jacksonville, Florida, Orlando, LA, Chicago. Absolute mayhem and chaos. And there was one guy that was actually dressed up as Batman, which is pretty amazing. I don't know what city it was. But this guy was dressed up as Batman.
The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. It was legitimately the Dark Knight.
Had it been New York City or Chicago.
Yeah. I have a feeling it was probably Chicago. I can't remember because I was all over the place looking at feeds. I can't remember exactly which one it was. But Batman did make a presence in a city. And when he was walking into the crowd, people were like, had their backs to him. So once they turned around and saw him, they're like, holy shit, it's Michael Keaton. It's Michael Keaton. Or Val Kilmer, whoever.
Val Kilmer, whoever yeah, your right. favorite Batman is. Yeah. Christian Bale for me.
Really? You like Christian?
Yeah. So far, he's the best.
Man, I'll tell you, I think Michael Keaton, out of all the Batman movies that were ever made, I'm a big Michael Keaton fan. I think the first one, well, Batman 1 and 2, in my opinion, were probably...
They were the most fantastical. The most recent one was trying to be realistic, right? Semi-realistic.
Yeah. The most recent one, was that... who was that? Was that with Christian Bale?
Well, I suppose you have Ben Affleck, who is recent Batman.
Ben Affleck was good in other movies, but he was not a good Batman.
No.
Oh, the new guy that's going to be a Batman... Robert something, the guy that was in Twilight.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was a guy that was in Twilight. Robert Pattinson, maybe? Hold on, let me look it up.
Okay.
Let's see who we have here. I think it was Robert Pattinson, if I'm not mistaken. It was, let's see here, Robert Pattinson. Yep, he's going to play the new Batman. But out of all the Batman movies that we had, I think the first one, Batman from 1988 or 89, was really good. Jack Nicholson is a Joker.
Yep.
The whole Gotham City, everything's dark. Love it.
Right.
And then the second one was icy. It had the Penguin. You had Catwoman. You had Batman.
Third one, wasn't it? You had Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
Was that the same one with Jim Carrey where he was the Riddler?
I believe so. Yeah. And that Batman was not Val Kilmer, but...
No, that was like the fourth one or something.
Was it?
I don't think I saw that one, but the third one...
I can't remember that actor's name.
What? Man. Did he play a villain?
No. The Batman in... The actor that was playing Batman in that movie, I can't remember his name. It was...
Oh, wait a minute. I think that was...
I want to say Kurt Russell. But it
was Kurt Russell, dude. He's like almost dead.
Kurt Russell would probably have made a good Batman.
Kurt Russell, isn't he married to Goldie Hawn?
I don't know.
Wasn't he in the movie Big Trouble in Little China?
He was, and also...
Overboard.
Overboard.
Oh, what a great movie.
With Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
I should watch that recently with the wife. It was pretty funny. It was definitely is aged well.
Oh, right? Yeah. That was basically about a guy that came from a poor family. He He had a few kids, right? He was poor. Mm. I think his wife passed away or he was divorced or something like that. Yeah. And he met this beautiful woman, Goldie Hawn, who he was actually really married to in real life. And he, I think they fell in love or she wasn't, she was kind of like hesitant to date him because he, I think he lived in a trailer park or something. She had like some yacht.
He was hired out to redo her closet.
That's right. Yeah, and her boat.
Right?
Her big boat.
Yeah, and then she ended up not paying him.
Yep.
And she eventually fell out the boat. He ends up coming up with a plan.
She was wasted on the boat,
basically,
I think.
Basically kidnaps her and then brings her to the house to pay off her debt to him.
Yeah.
Because she never paid
him. And I think he hid the fact that he lived in a rundown house from her or something like that. He was embarrassed where he lived, something like that. I haven't watched that movie in probably 20 years. Right. But when I, but long time before that, I watched it a lot and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Really great movie. Yeah. I think it came out in like the early 90s, if I'm not mistaken. They were in quite a few movies together.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Yeah. They were big back in the day. You know who else escaped Hollywood for a while and everybody's a brain? It was Daryl Hannah. Do you remember her?
Yeah.
In Splash with Tom Hanks? She was the mermaid. Dude, I was so infatuated with Daryl Hannah as a kid. Let me tell you. I was. Daryl Hannah was so pretty. She was so sexy. And I don't even know what she's doing now. She's probably still spending her money or has residuals or something.
Or on a street corner.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You never know where you're going to wind up in Hollywood these days. There was another movie that she was in, and it was just on recently. I don't want to, it's not Back to the Future. What the heck was it?
So she's still in film today?
No, not, this was an old movie that I was watching this past week, and I can't remember what it was. It was a cute movie. It was cute, but it was one of those movies that you haven't, that was from like 20 or 30 years ago, but it has a great story. That's a, did you ever notice like movies from 30, like in the 80s and 90s, they were always blockbusters, and now we don't have as many.
Yeah.
There's really not as many.
Right, right. Maybe just because old stories have almost been told, and now you have all these remakes coming up.
I don't know if it's remakes, but I will tell you, you know, one remake I really wish they would do. Can't touch the Indiana Jones. I really wish they would do a Goonies.
Mm.
That would be awesome. Mm. In fact, a few months ago, there was, when everybody was in quarantine, everybody's on Zoom and all this stuff, right? You had the Goonies cast. I think there was like a dozen of them. All zoomed up to each other, and they were all being interviewed at the same time.
Mm.
And I think Steven Spielberg and one of the other producers was in there as well. And they were talking about the movie and their roles and all little details that nobody ever heard of before. And it was awesome because I love that movie.
Mm.
My little girl loves that movie.
Yep.
Great movie. You know what I did watch recently this past week on VHS, which was the real experience, instead of something that was HD off of Netflix or, you know, a digital download, was Back to the Future, the original.
Mm.
Awesome movie.
Yeah.
Marty McFly, the whole concept. He's got to do 88 miles an hour before he goes back into the future. He sets the time. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how cool would it be to go back?
Right, right.
The second one that came out with the hoverboard, and I may have talked about this or brushed upon it a little bit in the past on the show, on the Huber Show here. By the way, if you want to check out our website, it's hubershow.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at Huba, H-U-B-A. Follow me on Instagram, Huba Show, and also the Huba Show on Facebook. Like my page, follow me, and keep track of the show. Share it. Do whatever you need to do to make other people aware of what you're listening to. But the Back to the Future show, Back to the Future number 2, the hoverboard, to this day, to the day I die, I want a hoverboard. Mm. I just want it. Like, just make it already.
Right.
Yeah. Just make it already.
I think there's been some technological advances with superconductors, and they've made similar things, hoverboards, but it's on a rail system, so you can't just go anywhere you want. But it is a board that hovers via superconductors, and you follow a rail.
Well, when I was a kid, after I saw Back to the Future, I was really into magnets and science and all that kind of stuff. especially as a little kid. We had science fairs in the middle school and grade school, and I think even high school, perhaps. Anyway, I was in the science and experimenting and playing around with stuff. That's how I learned. Tinker with stuff, right? I got this idea after I saw Back to the Future, magnets repel each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought to myself, well, since they repel each other, and I still have the original one I made. God, it's got to be at least 30 years old. 32, 30. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, 10 years old when I made it. And my dad helped me make it. It was a piece of wood about a foot long, you know, like a 2x4 or something,
right,
with plexiglass drilled or fastened to either side. And then I made a little car, a square car, and I put magnets on the bottom of the 2x4 against the plexiglass so it looked like a railroad track.
Right.
And then I had this cardboard car, and I put magnets on the bottom of that, and it hovered.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was cool. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if I had like a skateboard and I could do this, I wasn't dumb or anything like that, but I felt to myself, hey, maybe if we have enough magnets, we could actually float like Michael J. Fox did, like Marty McFly did in the movie with the hoverboards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't work out like that, but you get your mind going. And here we are, what, 2020?
Yeah.
I thought as a kid, growing up in the late 70s, early 80s, we were going to have hoverboards. 2020 was written in books. Magazines, and it's been nothing but mayhem and chaos and quarantine and all kinds of things. I couldn't have predicted this. I thought it was going to be like the Jetsons. I mean, what about you? Did you think it was going to be like the Jetsons? At least hoverboards.
Was I making predictions back when I was 15 years old? Not really, but what we have today, I think it's pretty good overall.
Oh yeah.
I mean, yesterday we made history. First man in commercial flight to go into International Space Station.
Absolutely. That's a big deal.
That was a real big deal.
In fact, that was supposed to take place last Wednesday, which was that the 27th? What's today, the 29th?
Yes.
Let me see what day it is here. I forget what day it is.
I think it's like
the 30th. Today's the 31st, so 30th, 29th, 28th. So it was the 27th of May was supposed to be the first commercial launch of astronauts.
Correct.
And Elon Musk can do it 32 or $36 million cheaper than the government?
I don't know.
I saw that. I saw those somewhere.
Significantly cheaper.
Significantly cheaper.
Yeah.
And that day, Wednesday, it was kind of overcast because I was down in Florida. I was right by Cape Canaveral.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought in the morning, I was looking at the weather and stuff. And I'm like, you know, I really don't think this is going to take off today. I'm so glad I did not wait and go up by Cape Canaveral past Patrick Air Force Base and Cocoa Beach and all that because we were scouting around the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Springs instead in Central Florida, and I'm glad we did because it would have been a waste of a day. And I heard, because I'm a ham operator, so a lot of the hams that I was talking to leading up to that told me where to go, where to hang out, the best place to view it, because plus two, President Trump and Pence were supposed to be in town flying in, so that was going to be extra traffic,
right,
blockage and blockades and all kinds of stuff. So
yeah.
I was trying to plan the best way to do it. And once I knew it was going to be thunderstorms all day, I was like, let's scrub this.
Yeah.
Scrub is like the new trendy word now because that's an astronaut word.
Right.
Scrub it.
Scrub the launch,
guys.
That's right.
So we didn't do that. We went out going to the Springs and set in Central Florida. But yesterday I was able to watch it at my friend's house and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable to see this thing go off and be able to see it. I mean, it's like a microscopic little piece of rice in the sand or the sky.
Right.
Because we're so far away.
Right.
You know, and it kind of came toward us, I guess, a little bit. Couldn't see the reentry of the rockets that came back in town or back in town. Did they land on a ship?
Yeah, they were offshore.
They were offshore.
They did not land at the platforms at Kennedy.
Okay.
So
when you think about that, though, something that can take off, reach outer space, blast the top part off where the astronauts are, and they take 2 or 3 days to get, or 2 days or 24 hours to get to the 19 ISS.
19 hours from what I heard.
19 hours to get to this ISS, the International Space Station.
We're about the, I don't know if it's already happened or not, but they may have already got to the,
I think they did about an hour or two ago.
Yeah.
Earlier today they did.
Yeah,
they were all like, you know, hey, tell everybody we made it, we're good. You know, they're all out, and they're off their suits. There's not a lot of space in there either. A lot of space.
Inside the capsule, the Dragon capsule, or the International Space Station?
Inside the capsule.
Right.
Yeah. A guy like me, like, dude, back in the day when they first had it, I would be like a stick of gum in a pack of gum.
Right, yeah.
Like, just, get me the hell out of here.
Right, just all squeezed
right in. and you have like this, you'd be like, suck it in, dude, it in for 24 hours, got to suck it in, you know? And I don't think they do. They have like sea rations or military rations or anything like that on board, you think?
I'm sure that they have some sort of meal ready to eat on board the Dragon.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they have on the International Space Station if things got a little better space on the space station. It may be. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, when I was a kid, where did I go? I went to some museum. It may have been in Albany. I think it was Albany, and they had these. I thought I was so cool. You could buy these. I think they called them. Oh, what the heck were they?
The dehydrated ice cream.
Dehydrated ice cream. Dude, you just read my mind. They had dehydrated ice cream, and it said, this is what the astronauts eat. And I was like, whoa, really? Yeah. This is what the astronauts eat? That's so cool, right? It was basically, from what I can remember, and I was only probably 7 or 8 years old. It was like a styrofoam. Picture this. Picture like a cross, like a styrofoam and candy cotton mixed together.
Yeah.
And it's like hard, and then you kind of break a piece off. It looks like a piece of styrofoam, and you eat it, and it dissolves right away. And that was freeze-dried ice cream, and it was so cool.
My dad used to bring home MREs from the early 90s, late 80s, and they would have freeze-dried fruit cakes in there. And we used to dig through the MREs searching for those fruit cakes. They're delicious. I can't.
They were so good.
They're so good.
They're so good. You want a third.
Yeah. Just the texture and how they're crispy initially and how they do melt in your mouth afterwards. It's amazing.
Yeah, they
technology.
Do. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they're good. If you don't open those up, they're probably good for, what, 80 years? 50 years? How about military rations? What are MREs?
I know
for?
If you put them in a freezer, and you store them in a freezer, they last forever. Forever. I wouldn't be surprised if they did last for 60, 80 years if you have them inside in the proper storage conditions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That's like these. What are they? They're like food packs you can buy, like 50 or 80 bucks a piece. It's like a gallon bucket full of like 30 meals.
Right.
They're MREs and they're crackers. You've got like the essentials. They're all high in calories.
Yeah, we've bought one before, my brother and I, and it's mainly, if I remember correctly, bags of rice and beans. It's not quite an MRE. It's more just food that
like
is dried and can be around for a while.
It's
not necessarily an MRE. There's some components to it that are similar to an MRE, but it's not the same thing. So you have to cook everything over
in a
flame. Like, you have to heat things. You have to do actual cooking. It's not just open a bag and eat it.
So it's kind of like an MRE about 75% of the way.
Yeah, I could go with that. Yeah.
Because I've seen real MREs before. I've seen a case of MREs that had like 300 meals in them, and they're literally like this white bag, like air-packed. You open it up, and it blows up like a balloon, and there's literally like Hannaford bags in there. You know, like all kinds of crackers and soups. And one time, this dude had to heat up soup, and he had like this heating element. I don't even know what it was. It was like some kind of like, what was it, phosphor or something you put under the bag and it heats the meal up.
I'm not sure of what makes up the chemical, but it is a powder and you add some water and it creates hydrogen and heat. And I'm sure there's other chemicals that it creates during the reaction.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty neat. I see a lot of those
flameless
advertised.
Heater ration.
Yeah, right. Flameless.
FRH.
Yeah, FRH.
That's what it's called.
It's an FR. Is it really?
Yeah, FRH.
An FRH, a flameless heater ration.
FRH, yeah.
I often wondered, like, I would love to interview an astronaut. Oh my God, dude. Yeah. There would be so many questions I have. Like, one thing I wondered about yesterday, some of the things that they're fiddling with or they're taking out of these little bags and they're putting above them, like, I want to know what those are.
It's probably just miscellaneous crap.
Just miscellaneous stuff that, like, means nothing.
He just pulled some chapstick out,
and everybody's like, ooh, what's that? And, like, what kind of futuristic little device is this?
Yeah, it was probably meaningless.
Yeah, chapstick.
Chapstick.
James's lips are chapped,
That
man.
Was just a glove box, and he pulled some chapstick.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
But when you see these suits inflate, they... apparently, they have like this air conditioning system, kind of similar to NASCAR drivers, where they have a hose. Because that's one thing I was really curious.
Like a cooling suit?
Like a cooling suit, yeah. It's kind of connected to like an air conditioned unit, and somewhere on those seats or on their suit, it hooks to them, and it kind of just kind of fills their body. Because one of the things I kept noticing is, how come their masks aren't fogging up?
Right.
Because
air circulation to keep it from you have a defogger.
There has to be, because
same thing in the bomb suit, you got a defogger going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. What is that, like in the back part of it or something like that?
It's right all inside the helmet, and there's a fan, and it blows air onto your visor.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because I can't even keep my sunglasses from fogging up when I go from an air conditioning unit outside. Yeah. It's like all foggy for like first 5 minutes.
Right.
Or when different things I used to do at work, where you're working outside in all weather conditions, or you're in the wintertime when you start to heat up, your safety goggles or your glasses, your sunglasses, whatever, just the heat radiating from you.
The condensation.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was such a pain in the butt. It would fog up all the time. So you'd have to take them off, unzip your jacket, cool off for 5 or 10 minutes, and then you were good to go. But you had to do that like every half hour. Otherwise, it was pointless.
Yeah.
So that's why I was wondering, when these astronauts have these, and I'm telling you, dude, these like visors they have, they're so crystal clear. They look so nice and all these suits. And I also heard Elon Musk wanted to make this stuff look nice and high tech to inspire kids that are watching these astronauts.
Right. Make it look like a movie.
But make it appealing enough where they want to come in and maybe become an astronaut.
Hey, I want to work for him.
Oh, yeah. He seems cool, dude. He's on Joe Rogan smoking weed. They're just chilling. Like, hey, man, let's talk about the astronauts, dude.
Yeah. I'll be buying SpaceX stock once it comes out.
Oh, man.
Sure. Yeah.
This guy, to be able to launch something from Cape Canaveral into space, detach or blow off the payload or whatever you're bringing up, whether it's a satellite or whether it's astronauts, and then come back.
They don't blow anything off. It's actually pushed off the rocket. Mm-hmm. They don't use any explosives anymore. They may have some sort of propellant inside the rod that pushes your package off into space, but there is no explosives anymore because it's reusable. So
in the
past, they used to use explosive bolts and explosive shearing to shear sheet metal and create your separation. They don't do that anymore. Everything is just done by sheer force of
like some kind of device that kind of pushes it away, like an eraser or something.
It's like an ejector seat.
Yeah.
There's a rod inside there that gets filled with gas, and it pushes with tons of
sets
force
them right out into orbit.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
When you see, now yesterday it landed out on a drone ship. Just drone ship. The name drone ship is so cool. It must be unmanned if it's droned, right?
I would hope so,
because if that thing came back, dude, and then boom, and everybody blew up on there, it would be terrible.
You'd be dead.
You'd be dead. Yeah. Yeah. But when a year or two ago? Because I remember you talking about it. You came in and said, dude, did you see this thing re-enter? Both rockets came back, and they were about, I don't know, maybe a second apart from re-entry. So you heard the sonic boom. You go boom, 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 boom. You get the bottom portion and the top portion. There's like a 1 second interval or a 1 second difference between the first, what do you call it? The re-entry, the sonic boom, and the next one. It was awesome. I watched it about 50 times on YouTube.
I think you're talking about the Falcon Heavy.
I'm not sure of the model, but I know there were rockets that came back.
I believe there's three engines, three parts that all come back and land at three separate locations. I believe that's the one you're talking about.
I mean, they literally land in the same spot.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Right, right. Yeah.
I can't even jump up in place and land in the same spot with my feet.
That's the future, man. We're going to be mining asteroids next.
So right away we said the hell with hoverboards from Back to the Future. We're just going to go right into rockets and have them come right back to Earth.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah. Right back. Oh, that's great. Yeah, the hell with superconductors, magnets. That's so old school. That's so archaic. We don't need that.
That's right.
We're going to send astronauts into space. About a week or two, there was the International Space Day. It's still probably going over. I got to look up some of the times. I really wanted... The windows were so small, though.
To spot it.
Yeah, it was so small. Right. I mean, they could clear the sky in less than, like, 40 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So, to make a transmission... Because they have a ham radio. They have a radio on board that they can talk to other hams with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know the orbit pattern and the trajectory and all those little... things, you can find out when it's going to be right overhead of where you're located, mm-hmm. or in the vicinity of the sky of your viewing area.
Right.
But some of the windows are so small, a minute. Like, what can you really do in a minute?
Right.
Not
right.
much.
Yeah.
And the other one was
just
6 minutes.
Just basically say hi.
And, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's Pat in Jacksonville, and that's it. Hey, it's right. a Huber show. Oh, right. you know, and maybe they'll hear you because there's so many other people trying to get in through them.
Yeah.
That he might hear five people and he might not pick
especially
you.
The United States, because everyone's probably trying to connect to him when they come over the United States. I believe I seen the International Space Station when I was in Costa Rica, and it was enormous. The skies were so clear down in Costa Rica, and we saw the brightest light going across the sky. That was the only thing that I thought it could be at the time. Maybe it was a satellite, but it was huge going across the sky. It was unbelievable.
I saw gorgeous. When I was still in New York, this is probably going back about 3 or 4 years ago, probably closer to 4 years. The space station was planned to go right over where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And just so happens it was a beautiful summer evening, no clouds. No precipitation.
Mm.
It was crystal clear out and a beautiful sunset. And the lighting was perfect where I saw the thing come right over the edge of the mountain. And it took about a minute and a half to go through from one end of the sky to the other.
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yeah.
That's real fast. Faster than anything.
It moves.
Really moves. Yeah. It's moving about 18,000 miles an hour, roughly.
Yeah.
So I was watching this thing. I had my binoculars, and I could see it. It was crystal clear. It was way far away, but I could see it. It wasn't hidden behind anything. It didn't disappear because of the angles. I saw the whole thing, and I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable how quick
when
it's moving.
You see
and there's people
like,
on it.
Right, right. It's. I'm pretty certain it is. It's just awesome that we did that.
Oh yeah,
as a species, right?
Yep.
You know, like, it's a lot of effort that we did.
Well, that's like Elon Musk. At some point, you know, and the guy made billions of dollars with all kinds of little ideas and inventions he had along the way. I think he started PayPal, if I'm not mistaken.
PayPal was, I believe, his big money maker.
Big, huge money maker. I remember in the early or the late 90s when PayPal came out, it was a game changer because that was the first time that I can recall where you could actually buy a book from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I could live in New York, and you could be in California, Australia, or whatever, and we could actually have a transaction on the internet.
Right.
That was big news. That was the equivalent to somebody inventing radio or TV.
Right. Yeah.
In our generation.
It was unheard of.
Unheard of.
Yeah.
And I can remember people saying nobody's going to buy things from the internet.
Mm.
I remember people saying it.
Right.
Because all we knew at that point was going to a store, a retail outlet, Caldor, Walgreens, CVS. I don't even think Walmart wasn't as big as now as they were then. But basically, it paved the way for e-commerce, and it just exploded from there. And this guy, I'm telling you, I remember when PayPal first came out. I don't remember what their fees were. They were minuscule.
Yeah. I've never been a big PayPal guy, so.
I've used PayPal quite a few times in the past. Yeah.
But you know me, I'm pretty tight with my money.
Yeah, Daddy Warbucks over here. Remember DuckTales? Woo!
Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks. What was who? Remember DuckTales? Who was the guy that had all the money? Was it?
Wasn't it Scrooge? Or
no, I don't know. Was it Scrooge?
Mr. Duck the Scrooge or
Mr. McScrooge? I forget, man.
That's it, McScrooge.
McScrooge. I don't remember what his name was. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting here with Adam, the next Elon Musk.
Right.
But at what point do you say, hey, I want to start, I don't care how much money somebody has. Let's say we're billionaires, right? If we were billionaires right now, how would we just say, hey, we're going to start our own space company or whatever? Like, how do we do that? Like, what do you do? Go out over to NASA and say, hey, I'm going to pay whatever you're paying your engineers. I'm going to pay them triple. Come on over. Let's grab 500 of you, and we'll start this thing right from the bottom.
Right.
How do you do it?
Yeah. Well, that's just chasing your dreams, right? I'm sure Elon Musk has always had a liking for space, and
oh, the guy's
just
an innovator.
Something he wants to pursue.
Just like his car company. How do you start? Listen, when you have Ford, you have Chrysler, GM, you have Fiat. Well, actually, I think that's a brand. That's not a car company.
Fiat? Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, Fiat.
Is it?
Yeah.
And you have like Lamborghini. You got Porsche. How do you break into making cars? The guy lost so much money early on. So much money. And now he's turning more profits because own a Tesla is like the equivalent to saying, hey, I have a Lamborghini.
It's a lot of fundraising.
Oh, yeah.
He did. Yep. Tons of fundraising. I'm not sure if Tesla actually has turned a profit yet. I could be wrong.
I think he has. I think he has. But
yeah, I'm not like a historical kind of guy, but it's been a while since he turned a profit. It took many years for them to turn a profit, and it was a big deal when they did turn a profit. And it was all done through fundraising and trying to use everyone else's money instead of his money.
Yeah, right.
So that's how he did it.
Hmm.
But it is the future. I will agree that going electric is going to be the future. And it's only going to get better from here on out. And everyone's going to end up eventually owning electric vehicles.
A few years ago, I pulled into a supermarket back in New York. I think it was in... was it Glenmont, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Glenmont. Into the Price Chopper parking lot. And I saw these two stations there, and it looked like fuel pumps. And I'm like, why would they put fuel pumps here? And then there was this little sign that said, electric charger.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, what? Electric charger? Yeah. I felt like instantly, bam, right back to Marty McFly.
Right.
I'm thinking of the hoverboards.
It's the future.
Marty, it's your kids, Marty.
Here it comes,
right? Right, exactly, just like that. So that's what I thought. I just thought of all these movies and these scenarios. I have never owned an electric car, but one thing that I did when I was younger, we had a technology class in middle school. I think I was like in sixth or seventh grade. The Tour de Sol was coming through the Empire State in Albany at the Empire State Plaza. Mm-hmm. The Tour de Sol was basically companies and people from all over the world that make solar cars.
Okay.
Okay, because solar was like, everybody thought this was going to be the Jetsons way out. We're all going to have solar stuff, right?
Right.
Little did they know, solar really can't power things enough for you to really make it worth your while.
Yeah.
Right.
You could maybe do in the future.
Maybe
but
in the future.
It's going to be out there.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things that, it kind of works a little bit, but not enough for everybody to jump on board.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, having said that, we had one of the tests we had as kids in the class was to make, we had these photovoltaic cells. They were basic photo solar panels.
Okay.
Okay. About the size of an RC car.
Right.
So we had to make something that worked on them. Well, we won best design. Ours didn't go the fastest. It ran great, but it wasn't the fastest one that they had out there. And they had about 30 or 40 kids or schools from around the state that all met at the Tour de Sol event. This is going back in probably, how old was I? This had to have been like 87. No, maybe 89, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the 80s.
Right.
And we won first place in New York State for design. There was two or three other people on my team, And I think the car is still in the middle school where I went in upstate New York. And I thought that was so cool, dude, because I was really into RC cars. And I remember I drew up these little blueprints and stuff on what I did was, this is so embarrassing. Back in the day, we had paper bags from the supermarket. So what I did was I cut open about two or three of them and put them together. So I drew out these blueprints on what looked like a Goonies map.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I rolled it up and I brought it to my teacher because he was waiting to select students that were going to be part of the project. And I got selected. But basically, to make a long story short, I really did think at one point in my life that solar power was going to be replace all the cars.
That was it.
It was going to do it.
Right.
And it didn't.
No,
not at all. Not even close. Not even close. Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. I mean, they probably couldn't even get a solar powered car through the government testing that they had to do.
Right.
The crumble test and whatnot.
All right. Try that again.
Hello?
All right. There you go. All right. I must have had, I don't know what I did. Anyway, so that's what I thought was going to happen, and that didn't happen. But I was okay with it. But I saw all these other cars there. There were people in like these capsules. They were just low. They had these huge. What I saw for the most part was because you had to have a lot of photovoltaic cells. You had to have a lot of solar panels.
Right.
So it was basically somebody riding on like
a solar panel,
a bicycle seat with this huge like plywood behind them.
Right.
Covered in solar panels.
Yeah.
And that's how they were able to ride. And they were only able to do like 20 miles an hour.
Right.
At the most. Didn't have any torque. Couldn't really go up a big hill or anything like that. But it was a start. And
if
I was
you got
like,
into an accident, you're probably dead.
Oh yeah. It's just like the smart cars. Right. Remember when those came out? Ooh, look at this.
Well, I can get 80
miles a gallon.
Yeah.
But if you hit anything bigger than like somebody on a bicycle, you're going to kiss your ass goodbye.
Right.
For the most part.
But I know that there is some special things going on with the crumpled design of smart cars and that the body itself crumples. Unlike most vehicles where you have the fender that crumples, but the smart car, the whole body crumples, but is still able to keep the passenger inside safe. And I think it's a pretty good idea overall.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, just a small little compact car that you can drive around, putz around in, you know, do your...
I couldn't fit in a smart car. I wouldn't feel safe in a smart car, but I would love to get a little scooter.
Right, right. Oh, dude, scooter, yeah.
I would love to get the Honda Ruckus. Did you ever see that? It's a, I think it's a 49 or a 50 cc. It only does about 35 miles an hour. Just to cruise around on a hot summer night, through the beach streets of Jacksonville or wherever, Melbourne, Florida, Miami, something like that. Just cruise around and just explore. Yeah. Find some of these backcountry roads in like Citra, Florida, or Stark, Florida, where it's just desolate cow land and cow farms and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. Really cool stuff.
That would be cool.
So let's segue to your Key West story. Now this story. Now Adam has told this. I absolutely love this story, and one of the reasons Adam's here today because he's going to tell this story. He's great for conversation, but this story, it will make you laugh, and to be quite honest with you, it'll educate people on what not to do. Don't you think or no?
Oh boy, yeah. Some good safety lessons for both.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is safety 101 right now. In fact, I feel like this could be like a South Park episode.
I don't know about that, but we'll see.
You went to Key West, what, about a year ago?
So this was last year. My cousin and I went to Key West. We rented a boat from the NAS here in Jacksonville.
What's the NAS?
The Naval Air Station, Jacksonville.
Gotcha.
And fantastic prices, $250 for 5 days.
Now, is that because you were your prior military or have military experience?
National Guard.
National Guard.
I believe anyone, National Guard or active duty, can rent these boats for like dirt cheap, $250 for 5 days, which is awesome.
Wow.
But anyways, we trailered the boat down to the Keys to the naval base on Key West, and we decided to go fishing. And we got down there. We spent the night in the hotel. The next morning, we woke up, and we hit the water. And it was gorgeous. The water is crystal clear. There's nurse sharks all over the water. There's tons of nurse sharks. And we end up going east on the north side of the Keys. And there's two island chains kind of going across the Keys. You got the one in the south, which is all connected by the bridges and all the buildings and whatnot. The towns are basically on the southern end of the Keys. But you have another island chain on the north side that isn't connected by bridges. And we were going in between those islands, exploring and checking out everything, right? And we were also fishing, of course, and we were catching fish. We were not expecting this. We got out there on the water and we're just kind of...
You weren't expecting to catch any fish?
No. Like
what kind of fish were you catching?
Like most fishing trips, you kind of like figure that you're going to end up empty-handed, right?
Right,
you
know, yeah.
Like you're not going to catch a single thing.
Yeah.
But we cast, and all of a sudden we're catching fish. We're like, oh my God, like this is awesome. So we're...
So you guys are having fun. Out there in the sun in Key West, right almost on the equator. You're catching all these fish. Crystal clear water, beautiful white sands. It's like something out of a movie.
It's right out of a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of a movie. And we're in the lagoon. Basically, the lagoon is between the northern islands and the southern islands. And we're hanging out there. And as we go northward out to the Gulf side of the Keys, the fish keep on getting bigger. They're getting bigger.
Like, how big are we talking? Like 2 feet? Because
about.
A couple years ago, I was at my uncle's and aunt's camp up in Maine, and I caught a 6-pound bass, and I literally thought I caught Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
And when I reeled this thing in, I was like, wow, this is it?
Right.
But it was such a fight in the tug, I thought I had some monster on the hook.
Was it a striper?
It was just a regular bass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was beautiful fish, beautiful. I mean, it was nice. It was about 6 pounds.
Yeah.
But I don't really fish, so when I feel something tugging on the line, I think I have Jaws.
Mm. Yeah.
So what kind of fish did you catch when you were at Key West?
They were on the smaller end of the mangrove snapper, which aren't like huge. They're like, I don't even know if they're 6 pounds, but they...
Can you eat them?
You can eat them.
You can.
And I want to say they're more on the lines of 3 pounds, mm-hmm, approximately. That's just a guesstimate. We didn't have his kit with us.
See, as far as fishing goes, this is the extent of fishing for me. I know what bass and trout are, and I know sunfish and carp. Aside from that, I know what sharks are, and that's about it.
Yeah,
and dolphins.
Yeah.
But I know I can eat bass and trout. Other than that, I don't know what fish I could eat.
Right. Yeah. Mangrove snapper, as far as I know, is good. I don't believe there's any like poisons or whatnot.
Yeah, right.
That's just ignorance. Yeah, you know? I'm not sure.
It's like one of those fish in China where you have to have like 10 years of experience to cut it up, or you kill everybody that eats it.
Yeah,
what is it like? Some blowfish or some puffer fish?
Yeah, right.
So you have a puffer fish, you catch one.
Yeah.
You can only
eat the liver.
Can only eat a little small portion of anything else, and it'll send you right to the grave.
You're dead.
Yeah, you're dead.
You're dead. So, yeah. But we weren't doing it just for eating. We were just doing it for the sport, and we're having a great time. We kept on going northbound towards the Gulf, open water. And we end up getting on the north side of the second island chain. And I would say it was probably around 1,400 hours, 2 mm-hmm. o'clock.
So what? You've been out in the boat of what? It's about 6 hours at this
point? 6 hours approximately, mm-hmm, around
in
that.
In the Florida heat.
In the Florida heat.
Which, let me tell you, 6 hours in the sun in Florida is about 20 anywhere else.
Yeah, and we're getting crisp. And we're... I looked at my cousin. He's beet red. I'm like, bro, I think it's time to go back in. We should.
It's time to get another bottle of sunscreen, SPF 300.
Some, we're getting a little burnt here. We need to go back. So we turn back around.
Yep.
We're coming back in. I would say we're approximately 12, 14 miles away from Florida, Key West.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to take the scenic route instead of going back from where we came from. And we ended up going directly west.
The wrong way.
This is where it gets bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We go directly west, and we get to directly north of Key West. And as we're chugging along, we notice the water is getting shallower.
Oh,
keeps
man.
On getting shallower and shallower. And all of a sudden, we're in about 3 feet of water, and the prop is hitting the sand. And then there's just a huge cloud of sand behind us. We're like, what the hell? What is going on? Yeah, well, we need to let's bring up the motor a little bit.
Yeah, let's turn it up a little. Yeah, maybe we got to go a little faster.
Right, yeah. So we start kind of like thinking about it, and we start noticing that the water is going out to the open water. Like, oh my God, it's low tide.
Oh, dude. Low tide is every 6 hours, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it happens 4 times a day. Yeah. You have low tide twice and high tide twice, I think.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I believe it. So every 12 hours.
Yeah.
Every 12 hours.
Yep.
And so we ended up pushing out away from the lower parts of the mud flap. And we're approximately 7 to 8 miles away from Key West. And in both directions, it just turned into mud. Both directions. Just mud as far as you can see for miles.
Oh, man.
Miles.
So you guys were... The problem is... So basically, this is the issue. The issue was is that you had to be really far off of Key West when low tide was in, when low tide was happening, to not be basically held up with sand.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Basically being beached.
And you were basically beached at this point, almost.
Almost beached. We're almost
beached.
We were able to stay away from the mud flats well enough that we never got beached.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a point in which we were trying to get through the mud flat, the shallow water area, and we did it by oar. We turned off the engine and just went manpower, basically. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't want anything getting tangled up in the prop.
Yeah, right. You don't want to ruin the boat.
Yeah, you don't want to
ruin
the boat.
It was a rental.
So I paddled. I paddled for approximately an hour. And it's not like a super tiny boat. I would say it was approximately like a 16-foot boat or so. And paddling a 16-foot boat around for an hour is a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
Yeah. And we tried to get through, couldn't get through. We're looking to get into the lagoon to go south towards Key West, but we couldn't. There was just mud in both directions.
So if we're looking at Key West on a map, you were on like the south side of Key West.
No. We are on the very north, approximately 8 miles north of Key West.
Gotcha.
That's where the mud flat is. Approximately like 6 miles north of Key West.
So when the low tide goes out, there's just sand and over the place.
It's mud.
It's mud.
There's all mud all over the place.
Wow.
So we didn't really have any options because we didn't have a GPS with us. And then our cell phones
that
we were kind of relying on weren't working very well because we're away from land. And
for
whatever reason, I'm not exactly sure why, but we had terrible service. So the GPS wasn't working on our cell phones either. Fantastic.
I mean, you probably felt like you were in the Bermuda Triangle.
You could see Key West, you could see the towers, you see exactly where we needed to go, about approximately 8 miles away, and you just couldn't get there. And the idea was maybe we need to keep on going further west and see if there's a channel there, and then that would take us in. But the downside to that was that the further west and the further north, basically northwest, we go, the further out of sight the Keys will go. And that was I was concerned. My cousin wasn't too concerned about that, but I was afraid about losing sight of Key West. And then,
you don't want to lose sight of land, because once you lose sight of land, especially if you don't have any like navigational equipment, now you're screwed.
You can't see much of Key West at this point.
Right.
All you can see is like the radio towers and like maybe a faint touch of like the treetops.
Yeah.
Like very distant.
Yep.
Very distant.
Yeah, great vision. You could barely see it.
Yeah, barely see it. So we decided to turn back around. So we did attempt to go further west to see if we can get into a channel that would bring us down south towards Key West, but we just kept on going. It would continue to be shallow all the way. It was it was a dreadful feeling. And it was awful.
Oh man. I mean, what's that like when you're on a boat, you don't have any navigation equipment with you, your phone is acting up because of lack of cell coverage, and you're out there trying to figure out, and that was the first time you were at Key West.
Yeah, the first
so it's
time.
Not even right. Like you had like some time under your belt.
No.
You're out there just kind of winging it. Hey, right. Man, we'll be back in 12 hours. And then you're like, oh, shit, I didn't factor in the fact that low tide goes so far out that literally makes islands for the next six hours.
It was 100% a Russ adventure. I consider that a Russ adventure. My little brother, my brothers and I will just freaking wing it. We'll just go places
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, like it just kind of like, you know, let the blows come essentially.
You just got to make sure, because you also too, you were running out of water and food, weren't you?
We packed a limited amount of water. We had a whole lot of beer. And we had a decent amount of food. But yeah, we were getting a little thirsty, I would say, at this point. Mainly sunburned. We're like trying to hide from the sun.
Yeah, it was like, if I say, if I'm outside in Florida heat for 3 or 4 hours in the sun, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
When you start to like, you're on a boat and you're starting to panic a little bit, hey, you know, we might not get back before the sun comes down or before the sun goes down, that's got to be a little sketchy.
That was the concern. That was the other concern.
Oh, absolutely. Legitimate, too.
The secondary concern is making sure we get back to the marina before the sun sets. And we decided eventually, after going further west, we need to go east back from where we came. We need to put an end to checking out the scenery.
Yeah.
And we need to get right back to that channel that we came out of and get back to Key West.
Now, didn't you try navigating Mac yourself, different channels, and you came to a dead end?
That's right.
And you showed this to me on the map, and basically picture this, you guys. All right, little theater of the mind here. Picture yourself in Key West, and and when I pulled this up on Google and did a satellite image view, this is something out of Jurassic Park. Okay, you have this big tropical island. And you have picture like a cul-de-sac with a tropical island in the middle, right? And you could go around this tropical island, and it's big enough where you really kind of think you might be going back somewhere. And then you're like, wait a minute, we passed this tree like two times already.
We just went in a circle.
Big circle.
Right, yeah. So that's exactly what we did. We started going east, and then we found a channel. We were so excited when we saw them. We're on our way back.
This sea didn't capture us. We're good. Yeah, we beat them.
And we start hammering down this channel, and then it dead ends us right at us.
What's that like, dude? When you think like all of a sudden, oh man, we found the way. It was a depressing passage. it's got to be so depressing. Or it's just like Chevy Chase in National Lampoon's. He's going around. Oh, there's Big Ben again. Yeah. There's Big Ben. Big Ben in Parliament.
Yeah,
that's got to. It must have been what it was like. But this, when I saw the map of this area that you got, it's basically a cul-de-sac in the Florida Keys.
Right. Yeah.
Basically, a cul-de-sac when the low tide's out.
You literally go like it dead ended at that island.
Yep.
And we didn't go all the way around the island. We ended up traveling on the south side of it to see if that there was a continuation of that channel into the lagoon. But there was nothing.
But when you do that, you're burning up fuel.
Right. And at this point, we're approximately a quarter tank. Which isn't much. We had a two-stroke, which does sip on the fuel. But still, we're starting to get a little
just
concerned.
One more thing that you got to think about now.
Another issue.
We're getting low on water. We really don't have much food. We have some beer. But plenty now beer. We don't really have enough fuel to kind of be monkeying around and figuring out and playing trial and error with little waterways.
Yeah, and so eventually what we ended up doing was we kind of like created like a little fort on our boat, you know, try to get away from the sun. We're like, oh, let's just hunker down. Let's just hunker down. The water's going to come back up and we'll be able to make it back to harbor. And after a while, we sat there, and it was just absolutely agonizing. Like we're baking, the thoughts that are going through your head. Like my cousin and I aren't really like we're kind of being quiet. We're kind of like chilling, and it was like almost the silence. Was painful, right?
Yeah, deafening.
Yeah.
It was so loud.
Can't do this anymore.
Yeah, you get to this point where you're like, okay, this is kind of like reality setting in just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that the reality is that we might not be back before we run out of fuel.
Right.
And I can't imagine kind of navigating around the Florida Keys. And if you pull up a nice Google map, if you go to Google Earth and you go to Florida Keys, you can poke around on satellite view or bird's eye view, maybe even 3D view, and you'll be able to see basically the area or areas that Adam's talking about. And picture yourself driving down. I mean, we've all done it. We've all driven down different side roads of developments, and you come down to a cul-de-sac, turn around. Well, when you're low on fuel and you're miles and miles away from a gas station, a little panic must set in. I don't think the Florida Keys are part of the Bermuda Triangle. I think that's from Miami to Bermuda and...
Miami, Bermuda, Puerto Rico.
Right, yeah. So Florida Keys are southwest of all that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, if you're out in a little boat and you have a quarter tank of fuel left, your mind must start. Do you feel like you panicked a little? Did you start to panic?
I was panicking.
Were you panicking? He just admitted he was panicking, you guys.
I was panicking.
Oh, he was panicking.
I'm human.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And my cousin was like super chill about it. You know, like at least from like what I saw.
Yeah.
You know,
inside, like, he's probably full of turmoil.
I'm totally panicking, you know. Yeah, but like, I was expressing panic, right?
Yeah.
And so eventually, after we dead ended at this island, we ended up spotting this dude on a kayak. And
just floating around in the Florida Keys, just chilling. Wasn't he checking crab traps or something?
This was the next dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the next dude.
All right.
So this dude, he was just like, honestly, I don't know what he was doing. I'm assuming he was fishing.
Right.
But he was just cruising around on his little kayak. And of course, a kayak can get through all the shallow parts.
Oh, anything. Yeah.
Right.
You only need like 2 and 3 inches of water.
Right. So... we decided to go over to the dude, ask him a few questions, see if we can find our like a channel back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we did. We asked him, hey, where's the next channel that we can get back? We bit off a little bit too much than we can chew.
We bit off way more than we could chew.
Way too much. We are lost.
We're lost, dude. We're about to talk to our volleyball like Tom Hanks did in Wilson. Remember? Castaway. Adam's about to be castaway.
Yeah.
He's got his volleyball ready, a little magic marker ready to talk to his volleyball for the next 3 months.
And this is something interesting that I don't think I actually told you about, is that the guy that we talked to is a YouTuber, and he was...
Really?
Yeah, he's on Key West Kayak Fishing channel.
No kidding.
After this whole incident, I was actually like checking his channel every once in a while to see if he actually posted us on.
Oh, did he?
You know, he did.
Oh man,
which was great because I appreciate that he didn't try to use our situation for his own gain.
That would have been awesome. If he had some video of like the long faces you guys had, like, dude, I just want to go home.
I know. But
I just want to go home.
Like when we pulled up to him, like I could see that he had a GoPro on his hat.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. Like instantly I'm like,
I'm gonna be all over the news.
I'm gonna be all over the internet.
Like, yeah, I'm going viral because I can't find my way back and I'm low on fuel.
Yeah, but I honestly appreciate that he didn't put us on his channel. I was like for embarrassing moments, right? You know, I'm sure, you know, the video footage of us were like beet red,
like cherry red,
as red as
those little throwaway cups.
We're lost.
Yeah. Dude, I really don't want to be tough at all, but I really just want to go home.
Yeah. And now it's been a while, so like we can laugh about it now.
Yeah, but at the time you're like, you know what? I just want to get home. Yeah. We got a long ride home,
dude. But like we were not happy campers. Oh like, yeah. At this point, like because even my cousin, like he was burnt. Like I'm burnt.
Oh yeah, dude, you're fried at this point.
Fried. Absolutely fried.
Totally fried. And when you're fried and you have this wretched sunburn, or you've just been drained by the sun, everything else compounds it tenfold.
Yeah. And so after talking to this dude, he was super nice. Like, it was awesome. Like, and he helped us out. But when you're out on the water, any instructions in regards to navigation are super vague. Yeah, just go around the next sandbar, and that's the channel
Adam,
you want.
Just go down to the palm tree. Well, there's guess what? There's like a million palm trees in my view right now.
It's so
we'll go to the one that's
vague.
Real tall.
So vague. Like there is no... You know, definites. There's no like right turn. On
that's the locals how
Main
they talk
Street
to other
something.
Locals
right,
to navigate. Yeah,
yeah,
oh, yeah. Just, just
hey, you see that buoy out there? You go that way, and then you go east 2 miles, and then south.
Turn at the bluff.
Right. Yeah.
Well, dude, like there's like 10 bluffs
there's
around.
10 bluffs, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Which bluff do I turn at?
So we ended up following his instructions, came back out of that channel, took it to eastbound direction. Trying to find the channel that he was talking about. And we may or may not have went into the channel that he was talking about, but we just kept on going east, and we spotted another dude that was checking his fishing traps.
Was he? No, so he was like a crabber or something.
Yeah, he was a crabbing or also
trapping
using
crayfish or something, like, whatever.
Like, he may have been... I think they were legitimate fish traps. I don't think that they're actually crustacean traps.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Like so this dude.
Like, so like he was like trapping fish. I'm pretty certain. And so we pulled up alongside him and like, hey bro, like, could you help us out here? We're kind of
help us out. We're almost dead.
Yeah, we're almost dead.
Dead.
We're almost dead.
Like, you're gonna begin to start screaming like Sam Kennison suit. Yeah. Oh, oh. Yeah.
This dude ended up turning out to be a firefighter over in Key West, and perfect, like he is the perfect guy, right?
Yeah, you know? Just, you know,
the
just
rescuer, right?
Mr. MacGyver.
Yeah, so we ended up speaking to him. He ended up telling us, hey, you guys wait over here for a little bit next to that beach. We'll finish checking these traps over here. I'll come back, pick you up, and then we'll come right back into the lagoon. And it was just such a huge relief. We were like, oh, that's fantastic.
Well, you know what? It would have been like finding water in a desert because when you see somebody trapping, you know that they know the layout of the place because they're not going to just throw their pods down anywhere.
Yeah.
They know where the good stuff is.
Exactly.
So that usually means they know the islands and the waterways and the little coastal areas like the back of their hand.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what you needed was that... local experience in regards to where the channels are.
Right.
So my cousin and I waited on a beach, and there was a bunch of nurse sharks. We're playing around with the nurse sharks while we're waiting.
Can they hurt you?
No.
A nerve shark?
Nerve shark.
Yeah, those are nice.
Yeah, right.
They're like little puppies in the water. Although I wouldn't
put my hand in front of them.
I wouldn't be like, oh, hey, here's a little fishy for you. Yeah, you know, come up to my elbow or my wrist. No,
it's it's a little bit of an unknown there. Like, would it like snap your wrists off or what?
Yeah. I heard nurse sharks are basically like puppies in the water.
You're right.
But I would still treat them like they're going to kill me.
You're right. Yeah.
That's the fear I have, you know, just from watching Jaws or
seeing
these movies
them feed,
over the
like you can hear the power. Like even being outside of the water and listening to them feed in the water, you can hear the clamp of the jaw.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of videos of nurse sharks and people swimming with them, and they'll hang out on the dock. They'll dip their feet in the water and they'll be like, "Oh, come here, little sharky.
Yeah, I don't
come here. You're so sweet. You're just so cute."
Yeah, I bet you it could probably break bone.
Like there's got to be their shark. It's just like, you know, a tiger,
right?
You know, or a lion.
Yeah,
they can in a moment. You know, they could really be a shark or really be a lion if they want to.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, but the nurse sharks do seem to be because I've seen a lot of videos of people swimming with them, almost hugging them or giving them little like. rubbing their little bellies mm-hmm. or something. Oh, look, you're just so cute. Yeah. If I saw one in the water, I wouldn't to be able to tell the difference. To
yeah, like
to me, it's just something dangerous.
Literally, crack shells of mollusks and whatnot. Like, do you really want to be putting your hand in front of something like that? It's like putting your hand in front of a vise.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah.
So the trapper dude, was he able to help you get you back?
And yes, the trapper dude was able to bring us back. So he ended up finishing checking his traps. Brought us back to the lagoon area. And then once we're in the lagoon area, we're all set. We were able to just go westbound back to Key West and then into the marina that we set off from.
Now, what was that like when you finally got back? I mean, how much fuel do you have at this point? Fumes?
We're on fumes. We're on fumes.
It's like the last three laps of a NASCAR race. You guys just running out like an ounce of gas.
Oh, man. Like, it was crazy. Like, and like we're checking the tank, like looking back, like, hey, we only got maybe a quarter mile left to go. Like I swear to God, we checked that tank like about three or four times before we like got into the marina. And we're only like a mile out. We kept on checking it because we're concerned.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, it was pretty. It was quite the eye opening.
Oh, this is it's a story you'll be able to talk about for decades to come. You know, and around, you know, Thanksgiving dinners, Christmas dinners. Hey, Uncle Adam or hey, Dad or whoever, you know, tell me about the Key West story.
Yeah. But like, even though it's a story of, I mean, honestly, it's like a story of ignorance. But at the same time, like I learned a lot, you know, like I know I'm a better boater because of it.
Right.
And, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
It's a classic, I learned from my mistakes.
Exactly.
The same way.
Yeah.
So once you guys got back, you got the boat all loaded up, what was the ride back to the marina like?
We went back to the hotel at that point, and we were just done.
You're like, I've had enough of today. Today can kiss my ass. I just want to give me like a drink of water and some real food.
We basically sprinted back to the hotel, drank as much fluids as we possibly could, and then just chilled out for maybe, I don't know, a few hours. And then eventually we decided to go out and go eat. But it was just all about hydration at that point.
Yeah, and staying out of the sun. Like, I don't want to see the sun for a month.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had enough of the sun and the sand and the water and the wind hit me and trying to figure my way out of this tropical mess.
Yeah, the plan was the next day we were going to go back out on the water. But after that whole event, that was totally scrubbed. It was scrubbed.
We're using the astronaut term now. Yeah. Adam scrubbed the next phase two of Key West.
Yeah. Yep. Scrubbed.
Scrubbed it. So are you going to ever go back to Key West again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Anybody I know that ever went to Key West, whether it was, I think Marco Island is down there and there's a couple others, they love it.
Yeah.
I would love to go there, but it's a long ride, man. It's probably, what, about 8 hours from Jacksonville?
8 hours, I would say, from Jacksonville. And you definitely want to do a 40 weekend, I would say, is the best way to go. Honestly, anything more, unless you plan on just drinking on the beach, rather, and just hanging out there the entire time. And
4 days is pretty good.
I think 4 days is enough. You don't want to do much more than that or else it's going to get really boring. There's not, honestly, if you don't have a boat, there's not a lot to do other than just hang out on the beach and just get drunk.
Yeah.
So
it's not very big down there. I mean, these islands are, you could probably walk around them in what, a couple hours? Some of these islands that are down there, are they small?
Yeah, they're small. It's an island chain made up of small islands that you could probably walk around in less than hours.
Yeah. Probably a place you want to go and have a scooter and just chill and just kind of putter around, explore, you know, get off the bike and swim and, have a couple of drinks.
It's a great place. If you want to blow a lot of money, you can blow a lot of money there.
That's sure. So it's like it's like Las Vegas in a tropical setting.
Right. I'm not sure about the gambling part, but if you want to eat good food and get messed up on the beach, that's place to be. That's for sure.
Excellent story.
Yeah.
Excellent story. Well, that was an awesome show. I appreciate you coming on today and telling us about Key West. We covered a lot of little details and show topics and everything else. And all our listeners out there, please share this show. Let everybody know about it. Like my Facebook page, The Huba Show. Also on Twitter, it's Huba Show. I'm sorry, Huba, just H-U-B-A on Twitter. And on Instagram, it's Huba Show. And also, let me see, what did I cover? Did I cover that? You can go to hubashow.com, hubashow.com, hubashow.com. Subscribe to the podcast, share it, tell everybody about it, listen to it again. And if you'd like to be a guest on my show, if you have a great topic or a story like Adam just told us, even if it's not in Key West, something that, you know, basically you could, what, tell other people about.
Anything.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, anything. Whatever. Yeah, whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
you feel like.
We don't want to hear about knitting or something like that.
Oh, God, dude, we don't want to hear about knitting.
Give us a good story, at least.
Yeah, knitting. There's a few things I can't really talk. I don't really know how to talk about sports. All right. I can make it sound like I know a lot about sports, but I don't know. I couldn't tell you one person that plays on any football team.
Me personally, sports is like rooting for just corporate companies. Like nowadays, like, yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, right.
Why people?
Well, the NFL is nonprofit. Is it a nonprofit or is it tax
there is
exempt
some
or something?
Sort
I forget
of
what it is.
Tax exemption for
tax
the
exemption,
NFL.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
I think it's like a nonprofit or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stupid.
So if you have a topic or if you would like to be a guest on The Huba Show, drop me an email, podcast@hubashow.com. That's podcast@hubashow.com. Or visit my website, hubashow.com. Follow me on social media and tell everybody about the greatest show in the world. Thank you.